Today we continue in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Chulin, which we began yesterday when we studied just the very first Mishnah of the Masechta. Today, in lesson number 2, we will proceed to study the second and third Mishnayos, Mishnah Beis and Mishnah Gimel, of the first Perek of Perek Aleph. In yesterday's Mishnah, we learnt about the persons who can perform Shchita and the persons who cannot perform Shchita, and the circumstances under which certain people who otherwise are not qualified, nevertheless their Shchita can be kosher. We also learned that a little bit about the times when Shchita can be performed, and that it cannot be performed at night, that is, it cannot be performed in the darkness, although it can be performed during the night time if the room is properly illuminated. We also learned about the din of a person who shechts an animal on Shabbos and on Yom Kippur. Now, in Mishnah Beis, after having learned about the persons and some of the conditions under which Shchita is kosher or not, we begin to learn about the tools, the instruments that must be used for a proper Shchita to occur. The basic principle which we will be encountering now is the principle that the blade of the knife which performs the Shchita, the blade, the tip of the blade, must be absolutely smooth. It can have no pegimos, no dents in it. The best example of a type of a cutting instrument which is not kosher for Shchita is a saw, because the saw, as you know, has grooves in it, has dents in it, and those dents, protrusions, which are usually along the entire length of the saw, render the saw not fit for Shchita. The blade must be perfectly smooth. If it has pegimos, dents in it, then it is not doing the Shchita through slicing or cutting evenly, but rather through ripping, and ripping is not a kosher Shchita. So the Mishnah says, Hashochet b'magal yod. If a person does a shchita with a hand scythe, S-C-Y-T-H-E, the type of instrument used for cutting grass or wheat, which has blade, a two-sided blade, in other words, it is sharp on two sides, top and bottom of its blade. On one side, it is smooth like a smooth knife. On the other side, it has pegimos like a saw, S-A-W. A saw in Ivrit is a masor, mem samach vov resh. L'chatchila, the best of circumstances, one should not shecht with a magal yad, even using its smooth side, smooth surface, because smooth point, smooth blade, because you might turn it over and use the other side, which is pagum, which has dents in it. But b'di'eved, if a person was careful to only shecht the animal using the tzad hachalak, the straight, unblemished, undented side, it is kosher. Similarly, b'tzur uvekone, if a person shechts with a stone or with a stick, the shchita in these cases is kosher, kosher b'di'eved. The Gemara explains that shechting with a rock or a stick, if the rock or stick are detached from the earth, if they're sharp, properly sharpened, that's fine. You can even use them l'chatchila. If you take an animal over to a rock in its place in the earth, or to a stick which is still planted in the earth, and shech that way, the shchita is pesula even b'di'avad, even if you do it too bad, this animal is an avela. Our Mishnah is considering the situation of a tzur, a rock, stone, or a kone, a stick, which was detached from the earth and then reattached. Talush ulebesov kibrom. The Mishnah says lechatchila one should not shecht with such an instrument, but b'diavad it is kosher. So these three examples of magal yad, tzur, and kone, it's only b'diavad that the shechita is kosher. Lechatchila one should not use such instruments. The Mishnah continues and says hakol shochtin. Everyone, with certain exceptions we know already, can perform a shechita, and the Gemara explained this even includes a Yisrael mumah, a Jew who does certain sins, maybe even many sins. But if he's not a mumah la'avodah zorah, one of those sins is not idolatry, and one of those sins is not chilul Shabbos befarhesya, hasn't violated the Shabbos publicly, such a person may perform the shechita, except that we have to be sure that the knife he used was sharp before the shechita, and we inspect the knife after the shechita to make sure the knife, the instrument used for the shechita, was properly baduk, properly inspected, and probably properly smoothed. Ula olam shochtin. One can shecht any time, daytime, nighttime, nighttime too, as long as it is l'or ho'avuka. There is proper illumination in the room. Uva kol shochten. And you can use anything, any instrument for shechita, even a tzur or kone, as we've seen earlier, a stone or a stick. And you could use a glass instrument or a plastic instrument or whatever, as long as it's sharp and has no pegimos, has no dents in the blade. Chutz mi magal katsir, except for a magal katsir, meaning a scythe, S-C-Y-T-H-E, that is used to cut grain, which has teeth to it. It has teeth to its blade. It is like a saw. Vahamagero, which is a type of saw, vahashinayim, and the teeth of an animal attached still to the jawbone of the animal is not kosher for shechita. If there is more than one tooth that you're using as the instrument, there is obviously a pegima, a dent, a gap between the two teeth. So even if one tooth itself is perfectly sharp, but if you have two teeth, there's a gap between them, and that gap is a pegima between one tooth and the other. Vahatziporen, shechting with fingernails, which are attached to the body, is also possible. Mipnei shehein chodkin. Gemara explains that this phrase, because they choke rather than slice, they rip the animal's esophagus and trachea rather than slicing it. This applies to the magal kotsir, the scythe, the magera, the saw, the shinayim, the teeth, but not for the tziporen. The tziporen, the shechita is pesula because the tziporen is attached to the body. Tziporen being the fingernails. And something which is attached is pasul even b'di'evet, attached to that in its organic fashion. The Mishnah continues, Hashochet b'magal katsir b'derech halichaso. This magal katsir has dents in it, all right, but they all face in one direction, meaning that the angle of the various dents is all in one direction, so that if you slice just in that direction, you're slicing and not ripping. Pull it, that's so if you do the act of hoilocha, just moving it forward, so all of the pegimos, all of the protrusions in the blade are facing away from the forward movement, and therefore you're slicing and not ripping. So the action of hoilocha, of moving forward with the knife, is not problematic. However, the action of havo'a, of bringing it back, rips the animal, because there the protrusions will rip the trachea and the esophagus, the kone and the veshet. So, if a person does the shechita with a magal katsir, where all of its pegimos are angled against the forward movement of the blade, b'derech halichoso, and you shecht it moving forward, beishamai poslin. Beis Shammai says the shechita is pesula, because the halacha may have been kosher, but there's a gzera. Maybe besides the halacha, the forward movement, you'll also do a backward movement, and that will rip the animal's simanim. Beis Hillel machshirin. Beis Hillel is not concerned with the gzera. The Gemara explains that such a shechita, according to both Beis Shammai and even Beis Hillel, the animal would not be permitted to be eaten. The only question is, would the animal killed in this fashion have the full halacha of a nevela and be metame b'masa? If a person would carry the carcass of this animal but not touch it, would he also be tame? So Beis Shammai says yes, Beis Hillel says no. If you polish the metal in such a way that you remove the protrusions, the teeth from the scythe, and all it has now is a smooth blade, it is now like a knife, a regular knife, and it's kosher to be to use for shechita. There's no gzera. Maybe you will use a similar tool which has not been, where the metal has not been polished and smoothened. No, if the metal of a particular scythe has been smoothened, fine. Now it is a knife, not a magol katsir, and it is kosher for shechita. So we have learned Mishnah Beis. We continue with Mishnah Gimel with a different subject entirely, and that is where along the animal's neck is the zone of shechita. Now, looking at the trachea, at the kone, at the windpipe, there is obviously an upper limit and a lower limit. Cutting it too low down, you're cutting the lungs, not the trachea. Cutting too far up, you're cutting into the vocal cords of the animal and not along the actual kone itself. Now, if you ever look at a kone, the trachea of a mammal, I imagine it's true of all mammals, it's true of human beings, and it's true of animals that were used for shechita, cows and goats and sheep, etc. The trachea is composed of a series of rings which go up and down its whole surface. The uppermost ring, which is already close to the top of the kone, toward the head of the animal, there is a large ring, a tabas gedola, it's known in the language of the halacha. Shechting above that tabas, or below into the area where the lungs are, that is called a hagroma. Hagroma means a misdirected shechita where the animal's trachea was sliced below or above the zone of shechita. So our Mishnah says, Hashochet mitocha tabas. If a person performs a shechita very close to the head, but still within that uppermost ring, Vishier bo melo hachut al pnei kulo. And as he slices across that top ring, he is careful to leave at least a thread's width of that ring intact above the cut toward the head. Then shechitas okshero, he has not gone at all out of the zone of shechita. There's been no hagroma, no leaving the zone of shechita. The entire cut was made within the zone, within the tabas gedola, just a thread away from the end of that zone, but still within the zone. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Melo Hachut al Pnei Rubo. He says that it's not necessary to leave an entire layer of even threads width layer uncut toward the head, but if one just leaves most of the length of that ring uncut, unsevered, in other words, the shechita, most of the severance has taken place within the zone, even though some 30%, 40%, 45% of the cut has been too close to the head, above the tabas hakdola, outside that thread's width of a layer staying within the zone, then it is also kosher according to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi holds that a hagroma b'miut basra, a hagroma going out of the zone, but only partially, where most of the cut has been done within the zone, is kosher, says Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Whereas the Chachamim, the Tanakama, requires that the entire cut from top to bottom throughout the entire trachea be within the zone, if only a mlo hachut, if only a thread's width within the zone. But within the zone, it must be all the way down for the Chachamim, and Rabbi Yossi disagrees. So we have finished Mishnah Gimel, and in the process, have finished lesson number two. Remember that lesson number one contained only one Mishnah of Maseches Chulin, because lesson number one was also the last lesson of Mishnayos Menachos and the first Mishnah of Maseches Chulin. Now, we have studied today two Mishnayos, Mishnah Beis and Gimel of Perek Aleph. That's lesson number two.